The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Our esteemed listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the date today is the 25th of Shawwal, 1446. And Alhamdulillah, ثم Alhamdulillah, we have Mufti Farhan Karani. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mufti sir.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Everybody is well.
Alhamdulillah, how's Mufti sir doing?
Alhamdulillah, sir, just quite a bit of new blessings, the soul blessing, Alhamdulillah.
Gee.
We complain it's too hot, and now we're going to complain it's too cold.
Gee, and they always say Ijtima weekend, generally it's cold. And this weekend also is, I don't know.
If every Ijtima is raining and it's cold. Maybe they must change the month, must make it into May or maybe March before the rain comes in. But March is a rain. Maybe May there's no rain then. Because it's always, and the site right now is, it was dusty on Monday. And now it must be muddy because they said bring your gumboots and your raincoat.
Okay. Mufti Saab went to the site?
Yeah, Alhamdulillah, we went there on Monday because the Joburg South has Pekazal.
Okay.
Because security and tax shops and all. So they put us in one apartment there. So just went to make some shipment there.
So
there's a lot of work to do before tomorrow, everything kicks off.
I read the message, I think from, in fact, Mufti Saab sent the message out. It's, they will be accepting from tomorrow night. Is that correct? People can start going through.
So people are coming from far, or even whoever wants to come, they can start coming from tomorrow. They can sleep the night tomorrow. And but the program will start with Sohar on Saturday.
Okay. And I believe they said there's some match that is taking place there, so people must go earlier. 11:30 is going to be a lot of traffic in there.
So the Ijtima site is right next to the FMB stadium. So if you're coming from Razali, then you're going to turn right before the FMB stadium. There's a side road there. It's called Shaft 17. So you're going to take that road. So there's a soccer match taking place at the same time after Zohar. So there'll be lots of traffic. And usually what happens in this area when there's a match at the FMB stadium, then they block off all the roads from Omonde side. JMPD blocks off the road. So it's going to be a bit of a difficult one to get into the Ijtima. Obviously, you tell them that you're going to the Ijtima. And they are already informed that there's an event taking place there. So they will allow you, but if the necessary went out is that you must come before 11:30 or 3:30 because then the match will be over, I think, that day. Or maybe the match will be taking place, but there will be traffic. People will be already in the stadium.
Okay.
So,
And then I saw the good news also. I read it first when Mufti Saab sent it on the group about the media statement on the reversal of the VAT increase. So Alhamdulillah, that's some, at least a relief for many, for in fact all in South Africa.
Yeah, because these people, they only worried about filling their own pockets. No, it's nothing about shortfall in the first person. It's all about making more money. So now they must be so depressed that they lost their case in court that now they can't fill their pockets further. There's never a shortage of money. They must stop stealing money and then there'll be lots of money available. But they're stealing so much, they said there's nothing available. Then they take loans from the World Bank and they take from different countries, they take loans. And we are sitting with so many billions of dollars of loans. So all that money you can save and stop taking loans, then you won't be paying riba and then you'll be burgers in the country. Even though it's a not same country, but if there's no riba, then there'll be burgers.
Mufti Saab, on what does Mufti Saab want to share with the Ummah today?
Above every knowledgeable person is somebody more knowledgeable.
Mm.
So, we just want to read something from Kitab. What's the difference between ilm and knowledge and wealth? Ilm and maal, what's the difference between... they got so many similarities, not similarities, a contrast between knowledge and wealth. So, Ali Radhi Allah says that what's the difference between ilm and maal, knowledge and wealth? So he says that wealth is a such that the more you spend, the more it decreases. Okay? So the more money you spend, the less the money you're going to have. And knowledge is such that the more you spend, how you spend knowledge, the more you speak about Islamic knowledge, the more knowledge of Allah Ta'ala you spread and you propagate, the more knowledge you get.
And
the more you're going to speak, you're not going to diminish your knowledge supply that now, oh, now what I'm going to speak about. The more you speak, the more Allah Ta'ala fills your heart and your mind with more knowledge. And the more you speak, the more it fills up. And for example, Hafiz al-Quran. And how much he learns, and the more he learns, the more he acquires knowledge. And the more he reads that Quran, which he has learned, it doesn't decrease. It increases in his memory. And it increases in reward also. So you ask, okay, the ustad who's teaching him, he is listening, and then he's giving advice to his students, and he's not decreasing his knowledge because now he's imparting this knowledge and he's teaching the children, so now his knowledge is getting lesser. No. His is getting stronger because he's listening to it continuously. So he's benefiting more by giving more. So you're not going to get less. You're not going to decrease and diminish your knowledge. And because knowledge from Allah Ta'ala is something else. It's not information. Knowledge from Allah Ta'ala is not information. It is a direct, it's a light, a nur. It comes into a person's heart. And he speaks, even though he doesn't even know what he's going to speak about, but Allah Ta'ala puts the words on his tongue. Allah Ta'ala puts the knowledge in his mind. He speaks about this. Anytime a speaker speaks, and from one topic, he'll go to another topic, and then he'll go back to the other topic. And he didn't prepare this here. It just comes onto the tongue. It's Allah Ta'ala just puts it in the mind. But the first difference between knowledge and wealth. The second difference is that with wealth, you need to protect it. And you need to use that same wealth to protect it well. And how much money you have a million rand, and now you're restless, you're worried now. Hey, robbers mustn't come. How am I going to protect this wealth? Because I've done it on a mattress, or keeping it in your safe, or you're keeping it in the bank, or now you're worried now the bank, if the bank goes bankrupt, the bank collapses, then my money is gone. They only going to give you 100,000 rand back from all the millions you got in your account. They only guarantee you certain amount. Now you're always worried. How much I now protect my wealth? I need to put a wall, a perimeter wall, and the key stands. I need to put the alarm, to put the CCTV cameras, I need to put the guard, I need to put this and that. It's never enough. And so the more wealth you have, the more you have to spend to protect that wealth. And when you're sleeping also, now you're worried, my wealth, how am I going to protect my wealth? And nobody must come inside. I need to wake up. I need to see the alarms. I need to see the beams and see everything is fine. And knowledge, and the knowledge of an alim, he doesn't have to protect. The knowledge protects him. The knowledge protects the alim. Yes, the knowledge protects the alim. How? Because when the alim makes amal on his knowledge, and Allah Ta'ala takes the responsibility that I will protect you. What Allah Ta'ala told Nabi Fasim? We are going to protect you. And you don't have to protect yourself. We have taken responsibility to protect you. So alim al-Din, he is protected by Allah Ta'ala through that knowledge. Because that knowledge brings him closer to Allah Ta'ala. And through that knowledge, Allah Ta'ala will protect him. So that knowledge itself protects the person. But the wealth doesn't protect the owner. The owner needs to spend the wealth to protect himself. And nowadays, so many kidnappings happening, and the more money you show you have, then the more danger you are in of kidnapping or hijacking or whatever. Allah Ta'ala save us from all these things. So nobody is going to hijack an alim. Say, give me your wealth. Give me what you know about deen. Give me all the Quran and hadith you have. Nobody's going to hijack you for that day. And many people will be jealous of you that you have. And who's going to be jealous of you? Other ulama. Other ulama will be jealous of you. That, oh, he's giving bayan here, and he's doing like this here, and he's doing that thing. They get jealous. But they can't take it away from you. And they can't take their knowledge away from you, because it's in your heart. It's in your mind. And it's preserved. And when wealth comes, then 100 musibahs, 100 calamities come with that wealth. And it's never peace of mind. But if a person uses that wealth in accordance to the Sharia, and he spends it in the path of Allah Ta'ala, then there won't be headaches and heartaches with heart attacks with accumulating that wealth. Because you know you're spending it in the path of Allah Ta'ala, you're giving it to the Mujahideen, or you're giving it out in Zakat, you're giving it in Sadaqah, and without any showing off, obviously, then there'll be barakah in it. And the old people always used to say that the more you chase wealth, the more it runs away from you. And the more you kick the wealth, and the more you kick this dunya, the more it comes running towards you. And then we see with the Buzurgad again also, the more they leave the dunya, they abandon the dunya, it comes running after them. And ilam aega, so ihsan jatata huwa aega. And when a person has knowledge, then he automatically makes amal on ihsan. And what is ihsan? Ihsan is be kind, kindness towards others. And a person has wealth, then what happens? He becomes more ruthless and more heartless towards people. Because he thinks, now I have lots of wealth and I have a power now, so I can do as I please and nobody can tell me what to do because I have so much wealth. I'm worth so much. And nowadays the talk is, I'm worth so much. You know, I have so much in my bank. I got so many properties. I got so many houses. I got so many vehicles. And my worth is 100 million, 200 million, or 10 billion is my worth. And so the worth of knowledge is much, much more than the worth of the dunya wealth. And so, dollar ke raaste nahi khulte, uske to aadmi dikhta hai. So, when a person has wealth, and it doesn't open doors for him. It doesn't open doors for him. Yeah, okay, maybe in the dunyavi terms, it will open ways. Okay, he can invest his money here, invest his money there. But and when a person has knowledge of deen, then he doesn't have to go and look for places to impart his knowledge or to propagate the Sharia, propagate the deen. And people will come flocking to him. And you got money, you want to invest it, you need to go look for places to invest it. Look for avenues to invest it. When a person has knowledge, and Allah Ta'ala puts it in the heart of people that this person has knowledge going set by him, then people will come flocking to him. You see our Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Bukhari, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he didn't go out advertising, oh, this is my senate, I'm far from this Darul Uloom, and going campaign everywhere, put his name out, so-and-so Ali is giving bayan here. And no, people automatically came flocking to them, and they used to have thousands and thousands of students. And nowadays we look for popularity, touring the world and making it known to the people before we come there that so-and-so Alim, Hazrat Sheikh, Buzrug is coming here, and then to have a seat at his table costs 25,000 rand or 100,000 rand. And so the ulama are selling the deen. Ulama are selling the deen, and these people who are coming, they don't even have any ilm. They got nothing. They don't have knowledge. What they got is only information, it's not knowledge. Because their outer appearance is against the Sharia, and their actions and their beliefs are corrupt. But people still flock to them. People still flock to them, but people don't realize that the harm these people are doing to the ummah. And then we so say that even so-called ulama organizations are hosting this kind of people, like Umar, Shaitan coming touring South Africa. So knowledge is something else. And you see, most of these people, who come on YouTube and come on TV and social media, their followers don't benefit from them. And you'll never find that a person who comes on YouTube and comes on TV, that he's giving a bayan, and people change their lives. I don't know when I came across somebody like that, but I never saw anybody. I saw them becoming more deviated, because what they propagate is against the Sharia, and what they propagate, and the people will come and see them. First of all, see this man. He doesn't even have a proper sunnah beard. He doesn't even wear kurta. He has no sign of Islam besides the topi on his head. People don't change. There's no hidayat coming from these people, because the means and the medium and their beliefs are corrupt. So Allah is not going to give hidayat to people through them. Yeah, you said by an alim who speaks basic English, simple English, ABC English he speaks, that even a grade R can understand what he's saying. And Allah put so much of barakat in that person's bayan that people change their lives. Now, these people who come and charge you money to sit in their bayan, they don't have an effect on your heart. And, but it's sad to see that people, especially women, they go bonkers for these people coming from overseas. But they don't go bonkers for the ulama that are in their country. Ulama that are in their town, they don't go bonkers there. They don't advertise, oh, that Sheikh is here, there's Maulana is here, there's Hazrat is here. I'll find five people, the five people who said for all the bayans will be there in that masjid. But nobody else will come and say, oh no, is this this Maulana, he's from this area, yeah, yeah. Yeah, when somebody come from the UK or America or Australia, yeah, then the masjid will be full. You know, that one is speaking, you know, you're speaking, the masjids are full, and the ladies want to attend, and the parking lots are full. But when an alim of haq wants to speak, and he speaks, and you'll announce it also, for every scholar that announces that Manana so-and-so is coming to give a bayan, nobody is there. Masjid is empty. But when somebody, jahil, and comes to somebody with batil comes, and he has batil ideologies, he's pro-LGBTQ, and even though the apology is not an apology. Why they took out an apology is because they want people to come to listen to them. And people must come and listen to them because they know the mahal in this country is such that they won't entertain me. So I have to briefly retract my views so I can get people. And when I go back, I will go back to my nonsense. And so their objectives are totally wrong. So ilm elevates the status of a person. A person can be a poor person. And look at the Sahaba. The Sahaba were not wealthy. Most of the Sahaba were not wealthy. But look at the izzat Allah Ta'ala gave the Sahaba. Look at the izzat Allah Ta'ala gave the ulama ihaq. That you still speak about them centuries after they have passed away. Centuries after they passed away, you still speak about them. And centuries after they passed away, people still benefit from them. Yet, so great, great buzrug. And we are becoming alim by reading their kitabs, and because of their faith, we are becoming faris from madaris. And if it wasn't for them, and they were basic, simple ulama, they'll go to the railway, he was such a great alim, that he would go to the train station and go and carry the luggage of people. Nobody knew he was Manakasi Nanati. Now we're talking about Manakasi Nanati and the founders of Darulum Dioban. And such great personalities. And what great khidmat they did for the deen. You never look for a name and say, somebody asked him, what's your name? My name is Muhammad. My name is Abdullah. And so they loved anonymity. They loved to be anonymous. They never loved name and fame. Oh, this Hazrat is giving bayan here, and that one, this Sheikh, you must put my title there also. And no, they didn't want any name and fame. They did it for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. Allah Ta'ala gave them izzat. We still talk about, you know, these characters here, you know, nobody's going to speak about them. Because another clown will come on the field and he's going to steal the show. And they'll speak about him until he's around. And then when he's dead, he's finished. And so that shows is not a sign of acceptance. It's not a sign of acceptance. Sign of acceptance is that people will speak till the day of Qiyamah about this person. Hey, look at, we Bishar Hafi. Who was Bishar Hafi Rahmanay? Bishar Hafi Rahmanay, before he became Bishar Hafi, before he became such a great alim and such a great wali of Allah Ta'ala, he was a drunkard and he used to walk around drunk. And Allah Ta'ala gave him so much of izzat, and he said, speak about him. And so ilm will give you respect. And wealth doesn't give you respect. Wealth will give you respect temporarily. It's, this person here, he gave so much of money to the masjid, or this person here, who's that guy there with the S500, the Maybach, okay, that so-and-so, big shot, okay. And I finish, you forget, you take the corner, you forget about him. But the alim, you're going to speak about him. You're going to speak about him, and you're going to mention that. When I said like this in a bayan, when I said, see, you must change, you must listen there. But now, these people, when they give bayan, these celebs, they come from overseas, and when they give bayan, it's not bayan, when they give their talks and their seminars, then you come home bankrupt. What you went, you come back with less also. You didn't increase your demand. And now look at Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to speak, then the munafiqeen used to make a mock. They used to mock that إِنَّكُمْ زَادَتُ هَذِي إِمَانًا, that anybody's iman got stronger listening to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And anybody's iman got stronger. Definitely their iman got stronger. But these munafiqeen, their iman didn't get stronger because they were sitting for the wrong reason. So when we sit in the company of the learned people, then our intention must be that I want to benefit, not to go there and criticize and take out mistakes and say, what he's saying now, okay, now I must go spread it. No, our intention must be that I'm sitting in this alim. Now, who must we go sit in alim? Which alim bayat? You must go sit, look for the alim who is on haq. Now, how do you know he's on haq? First of all, look at his dressing. Look at his beard. Does he have a sunnah beard? Does he have a sunnah libas on? Is he clothing according to the sunnah? Is eating according to the sunnah? And is his person, he went for one bayan, and then he saw that by the shurat, the hazrat is taking out his right shoe first. Instead of taking his left shoe, he's taking right shoe out first. But how can this person be a buzruk? He can't even make amal on a basic sunnah of taking out shoes and wearing shoes. There's not going to be any barakat in his bayan. So we have to look at somebody and coincide in the company of those people who practice upon the sunnah, and their life revolves around the sunnah. Because we know, we hear, the ijtima also, the bayans are all about that make amal on the sunnah. Our whole success lies in following the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, following the teachings of the Quran. And one nasheed I was referring to, that the meaning is, we listen to nasheed, but we don't understand the meaning. We just make zoom zoom there, shaking our heads, or the tune is very nice. But we don't understand the meaning. But Hafiz of Quran, you have the Quran in your heart, but you are desecrating the Quran, you are destroying the Quran. What your ways, the way you dress, the way you walk, the way you talk, you are destroying the meaning of the Quran, but you have it in your heart. So what Hafiz of Quran are you? And so what kind of ulama are we? And we must take stock of ourselves. That what kind of alim I am? Am I? That people benefiting from me, people getting hidayat through me, but doesn't mean that a person will speak and nobody gets hidayat, so he's not accepted in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala. That's also not the meaning. Hey, look at Nuh alayhi salam. 950 years he was giving da'wat. Only 82 people accepted Islam. 82 people, again, one person every 10 years. 82 people in 950 years. So it doesn't mean that Nuh alayhi salam, da'wat was not accepted and he wasn't given qubuliyat in the eyes of Allah. Definitely he was given qubuliyat. Look at other anbiya. They had one follower, no followers. It doesn't mean that they weren't accepted. But we have to look at a person that he has sunnah in him, and he has the sharia dressing, and when he speaks Quran and hadith. He doesn't speak of stories from his pocket and his experiences, and I went here and I heard this here or this. And you know, you find these young ulama who are coming out from these darul ulum, and they the stories they speak about is only statistics. They give you statistics that according to this year, and it's like this year, and according to that person there, this person quoted this. But they won't quote about the hadith of Nabi, they won't quote the Quran ayat, they won't give a tafsir of an ayat. They will give you statistics and philosophical sayings of this philosopher, and he said like this, and you don't want to know about it. And if you have knowledge of the Quran and hadith, then Allah Ta'ala will make people benefit. Then otherwise people will speak. So, you know what the Mutawalli is one that you must speak on trending topics, and you must speak very, very high English, and you must speak very, very good Arabic. And then even if you're speaking, you don't even know what you're saying, or you're not even speaking the truth, but as long as the Mutawallis are happy, then you're going to get your paycheck at the end of the month, and you'll last there for long. And so, but when you speak the truth, you speak the haq, then nobody wants to listen to you, and you get fired from your job. So so what's the difference between ilm and wealth? If you want ilm, wealth is not going to come worse. Wealth is not going to come worse. But if you want wealth, and with ilm, you got ilm, you want ilm, you get respect. And if you want wealth, there's no respect, temporary respect. And then nobody can speak about you, everybody will speak bad about you. So there's a difference between ilm and mal, knowledge, and wealth.
Mufti Saab, Jazakumullah Khairan for that beneficial message. Make dua for us also. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum
salam. The voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.